When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort. So I was having this conversation with my wife the other day, and I don't know why this popped
Susan?
Up, but we were Susan, no. My wife. We were talking about what's your favorite word?
Oh, mellifluous.
It's a great word.
I don't get to say it often, but I love the word mellifluous.
I love the word transcendent.
It's another good one.
Yeah.
I like usurp.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, I'm a big
fan
of the
meaning.
Word usurp.
I love the, but the sound itself is.
I love it. It's all great. Right. I don't know if it's and it's so onomatopoetically incorrect for what it's meant for, but it's so great. Usurp.
Usurp.
One of my favorite words for the meaning is synesthesia.
Oh, I don't know what that
word?
Means.
No.
It's when you experience one sense with another. So in other words, see music. Like the idea of like see, like, and some people like have it actually as a brain.
Sure.
Like
and they
their
can
brain
see color.
Is capable of, right. So they close their eyes and they can actually see color or hear colors or, you know, whatever.
Taste.
But
I think
just
you can
love
taste
it.
Colors
I love
too.
The way it sounds. Like,
nice.
And then also just, you know, the meaning of the word is so cool. So
synesthesia. That's a great one.
I like that's a good one too.
I feel like I got my love of words because I do love words. I just started following Merriam-Webster, the dictionary. I just started following the dictionary on Instagram. Yeah.
You know, it's not really the dictionary that's Instagramming their stuff. There's somebody that's posting
it. No,
it's for
just the dictionary.
It's not the
no,
book
no. Guys, it's the book.
Oh,
it's
is
the book.
It? Okay.
It is. It's the
okay,
book. I've
checking.
Seen it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I love words and I will again. Credit to David Combs.
David Combs.
Yeah.
David Combs.
He was a word guy.
He had such a vocabulary. And and I mean, Balvin Kallstrom, as we've discussed. He had such a vocabulary. And and just finding like great words to describe things. It was so important. And you learn it too. If you enjoy school and you work hard on your papers and you find you have to come up with good words. And there's so many out there. And yet you also want to find the fine line between like, I don't want to sound pompous. I don't want to sound
sound pompous.
I do
about it.
Just Ryder's sound all about pompous.
Obviously, I'm all about that.
Pomposity
I'm
is
the
way
most pretentious person in the world. Yes, you have to like. No, I love good vocabularies, and it's unfortunate that people don't use it enough. Like, I feel like we all use so many simple words when we could have better ones. Yeah. I love expand. And what's cool is that it's one of those things that does get better with age. Like, your vocabulary, just like my vocabulary, it just keeps getting bigger.
Me too.
And I love that. Like, you know, and yeah, I love it.
I was listening to a podcast this weekend about William Shakespeare. It's all the things in history that are myths that, you know, are kind of debunked. And one of them, you know, the famous one is, did Shakespeare write his own plays? But one of the things they talk about is William Shakespeare apparently invented over 1,200 words.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, something that's like 25% of his vocabulary or of his words were made up.
Them up. And have become just part of the lexicon. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
So that's why I think all the time I keep trying to invent words on this podcast, hoping just one of them will stick at some point.
We could still try to get Strofty Bright, man.
Strofty Bright could work.
We could.
We're using Taj now instead of Montage, but that's just like delish. We know what that's all about. So. Well, we use jacting.
Oh, you're
Danielle
right.
Can't no jacket acting.
No jacting. And jacting. I think you use facting when you were talking about face acting.
Yes, that's the other one. I'm a good factor. So
yeah, you're a good
go.
Factor, and I can't.
One of these
I cannot jacked.
Jactor.
Yeah, so, I'm a bad
William
jactor.
Shakespeare, William Friedell, very similar.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fischel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedell.
Or William Shakespeare Friedell.
William Shakespeare Friedell. I wrote all of my own plays.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So we have commonly referred to this show as more than just a podcast because it also sometimes doubles as a therapy session and not just when we had a real therapist on. Many of the things we've remembered or the memories we've unlocked have led us into our own journeys, both on the air and off, unpacking a childhood that may have been seen on TV, but also had its own set of private issues and puberty-laced confusion. And nothing from Pod Meets World has displayed this therapeutic side effect more than recalling the day I was cast as Topanga Lawrence, a moment that would change my life forever. I have told that story for 30 years. I had previously only focused on the aspirational angle, the unbelievable tale of going from a character in the background to center stage within just minutes, the long night my mom and I put into nailing Michael's notes, and it was my story of success and the origin of my Hollywood career, something that I am still lucky enough to have now as a director. But it was my adulthood, and now also having children of my own, that allowed me to realize recently it wasn't just my story. There was somebody else in that story who shaped the rest of their life. There was the original Topanga. Her name, Bonnie Morgan, went in and out of my memory for the past 30 years, either consciously or subconsciously. I don't know. She was part of this story I retold on TV and on the radio and in my book and really anywhere that asked me. But I never thought about what it must have meant to her. And if I was forcing her to relive a hard time in her young career, I didn't know. So when Ryder recently recognized her sister during a rewatch, also a child actress who appeared on Boy Meets World, you heard me in real time announce that I wanted to speak to Bonnie because our lives have been so connected and yet we have never spoken. So I was able to get in touch with her and we had a meaningful and beautiful conversation that lasted well over an hour. And she very graciously agreed to come on the podcast. And so today, I am genuinely honored to introduce to our audience for this week's Pod Meets World, someone I know you're going to love, actress and contortionist, Bonnie Morgan. Welcome, Bonnie.
Good gosh, this is a room I never thought I'd be sitting in.
Right? Bonnie, we recently spoke on the phone in a conversation that I truly cherish and have thought of many, many times since we spoke. And before we get into what you remember about your time on Boy Meets World, I wanted to talk about your family and how you started in the industry.
I am third generation vaudeville. My grandma opened for Frank Sinatra in 1942 in his Bobby Sox tour.
Amazing.
She was regularly requested by Jimmy Durante.
Yeah.
My grandparents were Swing and Sway with Morgan and May. And they were a soft shoe, jitterbug, acro duo.
My gosh.
Did USO. Very cool people. They had my father, the little scamp, Gary Morgan, and had to come off the road, like many do, to seek a normal life. Their version of a normal life was to open a dancing school in Passaic, New Jersey. And my dad became a Broadway brat. He was a child star on Broadway. He worked with Olivia de Havilland.
Oh, man.
Henry Fonda, Lillian Gish.
Dorothy's sister.
The man knows his history.
Of course.
And like many, sought his fame and fortune in California. So he picked his Jufro, put on a top hat, got in his Volkswagen bus with a surfboard on the roof and drove to California. Now, we're more or less circus folk. Our idea of a straight job is a center ring. Still walking, trampoline, rolling globe, tight wire, high wire, low wire, anything acrobatic. That's your day job, really. Right. So my dad is also a horror icon. He doubled the dog in Cujo.
I mean, that is crazy.
Oh, yes.
My dad did all the attack scenes. with Dee Wallace and any. So anytime you see the dog attacking someone, the dog's attacking the trainer. Whenever you see an actor being attacked, it's my father in a suit going. That's my dad.
So great.
My Aunt Robbie was Jason's first victim in Friday the 13th.
Yes.
You know, the little hitchhiker. Hi, can we go to Camp Crystal Lake? The one that gets her throat slit on the tree. My Aunt Robbie.
Wow.
My dad was Billy in Logan's Run.
No way.
He screen tested for Luke Skywalker because of that.
Oh.
My dad had two screen tests with George Lucas.
Oh my gosh.
But my dad didn't quite have that fresh faced, you know, country boy look. He's a little more Han Solo mischievous. So all right.
Wow.
He was also the first Ferengi that you saw in Star Trek.
Really?
Really?
See, now we're
really.
speaking my language.
Wow.
Oh. Talk nerdy to me, man.
Exactly. That's how I am. Oh, man. Oh, that's awesome.
So, I mean, as you can tell, like, truly, it never ends. She has story like this after story like this after story like this. It's incredible. And so I think it's probably when you started acting, did you basically walk out of the womb as an actress?
I always say I came to an age of reason with a SAG card and a pension.
Yeah. Right.
Like, really. On Facebook, you're like, you know, oh, my first headshot. I'm like, yep, nope. Like Gerber stuff.
Right. That's called a baby picture. Yeah.
Literally Gerber cheeks. And again, it was the family business.
Right.
We always joke whenever one of our cousins has a baby, 9 months old and doesn't have a job yet.
Like, exactly.
This is normal for us.
Right.
I think the only way to disappoint my father is if one of us had become a CPA.
Right.
Really. That's not a joke. So if you're ever looking for a fun read, LA Weekly did a piece called The Fabulous Flying Morgans.
Mm-hmm. And I'll send it to them. I've read it.
It's a fun read. Star Foreman did all the artwork. It's photos of the Blue Castle in Laurel Canyon. So literally, I was raised by hippies in Laurel Canyon.
Yes.
My parents met at a Hollywood party. Before she met my dad, my mom was living with Hal Ashby.
Whoa.
She was Ruth Gordon's like stand-in stunt double for Harold and Maude, a few other movies. So like literally hippie chick, hippie guy, partying in the canyon.
Awesome.
This is my life.
Well, that's a perfect segue into...
Yeah, because that's exactly why you were cast.
What do you remember about you auditioning for Boy Meets World?
So, crazy thing that. My parents got married in Topanga Canyon. I got a call from my agent. I was working a lot as a kid at this point. I was an Oscar Mayer Wiener kid. I did a lot of commercials. I was on The Nanny. I was on Life Goes On. Okay. I had just done Blossom.
Yeah.
As like a tech nerd in jail. And I had a lot of auditions for a show called The Torkelsons.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Playing Ruth Ann.
So a Michael Jacobs show.
I'd been seen for that many times. In many incarnations of the show, it seemed. So I get a call from my agent that was like, this is weird. Like, she's like, I would normally say you could get this, but it's like it was written for you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't hear that a lot. I mean, look at me. You don't hear that a lot, especially as a kid. And the thing is, as an actor kid, the brass ring is a series.
Yeah.
You know, when can I get a pony? When you get a series. Everything in your life is going to happen when you get a series.
Yeah.
Long running, syndication.
Yep.
All words that you know.
Yeah.
So I get the sides and it's weird. It's stuff that I know. It's stuff in my life. I'm reading this going, this is easy. First call. Really, casting directors look at me like, wow, You know what? Let's just try it this way just for fun. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for coming in. Now here's where it gets a little weird. I had 3 callbacks. They kept bringing me back. And I have a hyperthymesic memory. I remember what I wore to the audition. Wow. I remember the French doors in the office for one of the meetings on the lot. So, and it was rooms full of people every time. And weirdly, every time I'd audition, we'd talk a lot. I'm a loquacious fellow. I forget my name. And every time I'd come back, the script would change slightly. It seemed to things that we had talked about. And I have a lot of strange side abilities, from contortion to animal calls. By the time I had this audition, I'd already done 2 full productions of Midsummer Night's Dream. One of which I went on for Puck at 11.
Wow.
So the whole humpback whale so pale with the, I knew how to do the makeup for that. I was describing the geometric patterns that would be exciting for that scene. They kept bringing me back though, which was strange. And one time I even left the building and someone chased me down in the parking lot. Hey, could you come back? We want to try something else. We want to give you a different script. We want to, the Men Underground scene made it into the audition.
Okay, right. Like the toga. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All of it. So, and it was very, even my parents were going, what's up? Something's up. And I got a call from my agent that said, there's a power struggle and Bonnie's stuck in the middle of it. The creator loves her. And every time someone talks, it's like it was written for you.
Yeah.
It's like it was written for you. My mom grew kombucha mushrooms in our kitchen.
Right.
Right.
Literally.
Right.
So finally it came down. You got it. Michael won. I didn't know that you could get fired.
Well, it seems in some ways, Michael was writing the part for you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had auditioned for Torkelson's, because, I mean, I know he kept track of, the reason I auditioned for Boy Meets World is because my brother had come close on another. So he, kept track of actors, and he remembered people that he would read with and work with. Yep. So it seems like the character of Topanga was essentially written for you, around you.
It would make sense because we did talk a lot. I mean, more so than now. Anytime you had a significant audition, you talk to people. They wanted to know who you are, what you are, what does your mom do, what does your dad do.
Okay, so you get this call, there's a power struggle, the creator loves you, and then you get the call, you've got the part.
You are Topanga. The name was out of my parents' love story history.
Right.
It was the coolest thing ever. And what's more, I mean, you were all kid actors. You would audition for things that you were like, I don't know what to do with this. I mean, I'll go in, sometimes it was so off you'd get coaching because you had to make something, even as a kid.
Yeah.
This was just easy.
Yeah.
And you think that's it. I got it.
That's it.
And you don't know that you could be fired.
I didn't know that was even possible. So I come to set and it was the weirdest day of my life. Even as a kid, I was like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Weird. I remember what I was wearing too. I know you can't imagine this. I was a bit of an odd kid. Now, Topanga was originally written as a quirky girl.
Yeah.
An outlandish hippie flower child.
Yeah.
Yes.
And quirky was the main word.
Yeah. Yep.
So I came in and all the adults were very short with me. I went to wardrobe and I had a duffel bag of all of my stuff, all of my mom's batiked clothing from the Renaissance fair and all of that. And she looked at the bag and looked at me like, just I couldn't describe it at the time. I know what it was now, but at the time, I went to open the bag. She was like, leave that in the corner.
Oh, right.
Okay. So she fitted me in this strange, what I could only describe as a sweatshirt dress, pink sweatshirt dress. Like, well, that's not very hippie. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, they put me in very frumpy, strange wardrobe and wouldn't look at my stuff. They're like, you know what? Just go. We'll do this later. Okay. Weird. So the table read was great. Fun. It was all there. It was, couldn't have gone better with everyone around. The minute I was separated out, it was another story. Hmm. So now we're blocking, and Ben started kind of poking at me a little bit. He would make faces and try to break me, and it worked. At this point, I was becoming a nervous wreck. Yeah. I couldn't get his name, the opening line, Corey. I would like guffaw Corey, and David was just like, get it together. And I'm trying to pull it together.
Right.
Pulled it together in sheer fear. And Ben just kept doing this thing to crack
me. And you
up.
Were breaking. You were giggling. And yeah.
Just breaking and giggling. Another strange fact is that my dad was not on set with me that day. My dad was almost always on set with me, especially on big days. It was my mom. And my mom was much more, you know, would stay to the side. And I know that Michael wasn't there that day.
Right.
Right.
Michael wasn't there. My dad wasn't there. Strange. And at one point I had a line. It was a sweet line. And David went, I want you to say it sweeter.
The I way remember he the line.
Said it was
Do you
so,
remember it?
Peace.
I was
right?
like, I said,
peace.
Okay. So, okay. And he said, say it sweeter. So I said it sweeter. He went, no, I want you to say it. And he got really close to me. Like you're saying, happy birthday. And I was so tiny at that moment. And I just said, okay, I will. He goes, do it. I said, I thought he meant during the take. He goes, do it now. Wish me a happy birthday. And I took every bit of saccharin in my body and just said, happy birthday. I went, good. That's better. I was amazed and knew not what to say. So, and again, Ben, I would say, your hair looks different, so what line? He would mock me while I was saying that. I would say a line and he'd mock it back to me. And I think I went, what are you, whoa, hey, like, that's not cool. It every step of the day. And we were going to do the kissing scene on the locker. But at that point, I was like, I'm just going to stay away from him till Wednesday.
Yeah. Right.
Jeez.
Right.
Thinking I was, you know, standing my ground, making a good. Went back to wardrobe. They were like, you just take your stuff home. It's like, oh, okay.
Right.
The people that were nice to me were nice. Everyone who was lovely. But it was the strangest day on set I had ever had. I went home and knew nothing. I did not know what was happening that day.
Of course. So this is our Friday. The very first day. You probably arrived to set around 7 or 8 for school. We would have had our table read at 9. Rehearsal would have started pretty much immediately after. And then the day is usually wrapped. Like we were done for the day by 4 or 5
yep.
o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's so you're having this awkward, uncomfortable, super strange day on set. And you're probably thinking, well, thank God there's a weekend after this. I just get to go home, recoup, have a nice weekend, and I'll be back on Monday to start fresh.
Well, and what's even funnier is even with that crazy day, I was like, and Monday will be even better.
Right.
Monday will be even better. You know, I'll pull out all my batik tie-dyed wardrobe that I have. I had a whole thing via the humpback whale. I was going to go full contortion on that scene. In my audition, I sat down, put both legs behind my head, and began doing push-ups like,
oh my gosh,
like a dolphin going through a wave shape. Like, I had a whole choreographed
plan,
yoga-centric bit to go with that. I was like, when we all get it on our feet, it's going to be great.
Right.
Jeez.
I had no clue.
And how old are you? Are you 11 or 12? We're about the same age, right?
Roughly.
81?
Yeah.
81?
Roughly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you're 12-ish.
12. Okay, I was 12-ish. So... Now, I remember it so very clearly. I had no idea. I woke up the next morning to celebrate. I made myself blueberry pancakes because I was so grown up with a job now, you know?
Yeah.
I made blueberry pancakes and brought them up to my parents' bedroom to sit and eat them when the phone rang. My dad picked up the phone. They're like, we're the kind of like hanging out in bed all day, sort of. It's Saturday.
Yeah.
The mom and dad are totally just, you know, chilling. Dad picks up the phone and he didn't wait to get off the phone. He just said, "What? You're kidding. They fired you. You're fired." What? I left my pancakes, ran into my room, took a blueberry smelling marker and wrote "the worst day of my life" on my hummingbird calendar. What came out? Fortunately, I had been with my agent a very long time. I'd been working with her a very long time. The director said I couldn't take direction, which is one thing I had never been accused of.
Right.
I was working a lot. And my agent immediately fought back on that one. It's like, she can't take direction. We have to fire her.
Yeah. Well, she's worked on this show and that show and this show and that show. And none of them have ever said she can't take direction.
Right.
And actually, every director had been like, she takes direction wonderfully.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like that. She even said, "That's a lie. What's going on?"
Yeah.
Right.
And because I always say corpses float. There are no secrets.
Yeah.
Especially in this industry. It came out very quickly to my agent that the director didn't think I was pretty enough. Literally, did not think I was pretty enough. So that meant that a grown-up, a man, a boss, could lie about me and tell me I was untalented. Because the fact was, he didn't think I was pretty.
Wow.
Live with that. Right. I'm taking away the thing you want most in the world that was all but written for you.
Yeah.
It's because you're not talented. Sorry, I lied. It's just because you're not pretty.
Right.
Ugh. Wow.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
And so when you hear this, we all know, because we've all been those 12-year-olds who also operate like adults. Do you take this with 12-year-old emotion, or like, how does this affect you when you hear it? Do you just like this, this professional adult side kick in and you kind of muster up the courage, or do you just emotionally break?
I was shattered. I was shattered. There, I don't know a lot of adults that could take
handle
that one.
No way.
Let alone a quirky kid.
You know, we're all emotional people.
The word quirky in the 90s was also kind of code for nerdy, like
right, just weird, abnormal,
different.
Yeah.
Unique.
Right. Yeah. Quirky was the positive spin on characteristics that were not so considered great. Yeah.
I never knew who got the job until it aired.
Wow. And did you watch it then when it aired?
I watched the show exactly once in my life, and it was that episode.
Wow.
There is a lot that goes on throughout that time. But I had found out that that you and Marla had auditioned over the weekend, which was
Friday night, to be exact, which you didn't know.
Such a slap in the face to find out that I was dead man walking.
Yep.
By the time you left on Friday, you were already gone.
My theory is that they made the decision at the table read. I bet you it was the reason you felt so awkward is that whoever was pushing against you, whether that was David Trainer alone or someone at the network or whatever, who decided they made that decision after the table read, and then you were dead man walking the entire day. That's my feeling. And that's
I have an even bigger feeling than that.
Really? What?
I was dead before I ever walked on that set. I truly believe that David Trainer decided the minute the phone call was made that he was going to get rid of that kid come hell or high water.
Mm-hmm.
And what a hell of a thing to do to somebody.
Yeah.
I'm sure you all had amazing experiences with him. He went on to do a lot of great shows.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, why didn't my second choice? Why wasn't there a backup?
Well, because I think really when we take our, if we can get to a place where we can completely take ourselves out of it, there was a power struggle that had nothing to do with characters or Topanga or actors at all. It was a power struggle between two adults who wanted power, period. And the we were all just, you know. Yeah. I want to get back to Bonnie, you and your where you were at that day. So you're just absolutely shattered. Your job has been taken from you. This dream you thought you had finally fulfilled. You were going to be this character on the show that was going to be amazing. What's the first thing you do? Your dad hangs up the phone. And what's the first thing you do to like pick up and move on from this situation?
Well, that's where it gets a little more interesting. At the time, I had booked two series.
When you got the role of Topanga.
When I got the role of Topanga. Right. When I got the role of Topanga, I had also booked a pilot. And they both shot at the same time.
Oh, no.
And I had to make a decision, a very hard decision, between a series regular role that was the exact character I wanted to play, or the little sister on a Nickelodeon pilot who was written like Doogie Howser. Tough call. Pilot, and it was really, you know, like bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Pilot might not go. And I was gung-ho for Topanga, but the grown-ups were talking. The parents and the agents are like, well, decision was made for that. So while I'm, you know, huggle weeping on my bed, now my parents are trying to find the silver lining, like, well, maybe you can do the other show.
Yeah.
Right.
Which was such a consolation prize, because this was nerd glasses, knee socks, and Peter Pan collars.
Right. Topanga's everything you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who you were. Yeah. And tie dye.
Right.
So immediately my team goes into damage control to get that back. And miraculously, they did.
Oh, okay.
They got it back. So I didn't have a chance to wallow. And I wanted to wallow.
Yeah.
Oh, my pity party was going to be amazing. There were going to be tea cakes and everything. But no. You have a job to do.
Right.
And you're going to do that job because that's what we do. If you hear a strange screeching, it's because I have a cockatoo in the other room who wants to be part of
this. I was
going to
say, do you have a bird? Yeah.
Yes. I have a small menagerie at my house. And the cockatoo is, let me know if it's too invasive in the sound process.
Yeah. Maybe your cockatoo has something he'd like to say to me.
Yeah. He will make sweet Casanova bird love to you.
Oh, sweetie.
I'll go get him in a minute.
Okay, great.
So this show was about a girl who gets doused with nuclear waste or something, and she gets superpowers. And like, that was really the cool role that once again went to the pretty girl. Now, I hate to use that term so much because I'm in no way disparaging myself, but every generation has their ideal of beauty, if you will.
Sure.
In the 90s, it was Alyssa Milano.
Mm-hmm.
It was that type. Right now, it's Anya Taylor-Joy or Amanda Seyfried. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not to say that others aren't beautiful.
Right.
But when you have Charlize Theron as your measure of beauty, I am not a common looking that, especially for the 90s. So there's the girl covered in nuclear waste who's suddenly moving things with her mind, and I'm the nerdy Doogie Howser MD type genius who has already graduated college and is sort of her sidekick almost. Little sister, but helping her navigate her powers. A lot of big words.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of big words in that script. So I went from one to the next, and I am just trying to keep it together and not talk about it.
Right.
Because you're not supposed to talk about this.
Right.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, it's true.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay. I do have to go back just a little bit, though, because you definitely had something to add, because as viciously as I was treated by David, who was championing a different look, which he cast... he cast that look. He had a type. You and Marla were definitely on the same call sheet, looking wise.
Yes.
So he had his ideal replacements on deck in lesser roles. So the minute I walked off that set, those two were ushered into network. And I understand that you had an equally terrible experience with my champion, Michael.
Yeah, on
the
that
Monday.
Yeah. So Friday was your brutal day, and David was hard on you. And I thought it was very interesting that you really remembered that cafeteria scene where you had to say peace, because I remember that scene and watching David work with you. And I remember hearing David say, no, sweeter, it's peace. It's not peace. It's peace. And I remember
hated my voice.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what? Michael loves your voice. Michael is my whole life. Michael told me, lower your voice, lower your voice.
Right.
Drop the register. I needed your, Michael wanted me to have your voice. And David wanted you to say peace. And so you had that day Friday.
He wanted an airy willow.
Yeah.
I believe. And, you know. Continue,
and I then went to work on Monday as the new Topanga and had a
perfectly fine day with David. Went all day, rehearsal, think it's great, I've got it, this feels good. And then I did the run through. And at the end of that run through, Michael did in front of everybody what David had done to you in front of everybody on Friday.
Can I ask, was a male actor ever treated like that? I can't think of a single time when a male actor on our show was treated like that. Can anybody else?
No, I mean, kids were fired, right? We had multiple boys but they weren't fired.
They weren't called out in front of everybody and then fired. They just weren't there again.
Right, right.
It seemed like it seemed like this was, for some reason, if you were a girl, I'm going to wreck you in front of everybody, whoever
is
wrecking.
I've weirdly been on other sets observing when one mogul champions one person and another mogul champions another. So they'll like take turns. And this happens when Time's Up happened. It was time. They'll take turns like abusing the other one's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
If you will, like, well, I'm going to yell at yours and like beat them down. It's like, oh, you want to yell at mine? I'll yell at yours. And I've watched it, and it's obvious when it happens. And it's like, wow, it's alive and well, isn't it? But even in my episode, the hair straightening serum was from another actor, a young actor. And I remember the Dobbs, Rochelle says.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about Rochelle.
I will speak with Rochelle.
Yes, I will consult with Rochelle.
I will consult with Rochelle.
Yep.
And
yeah, I had a tiny part that week until.
When it finally came to fruition, he was gone too.
Yeah.
It was like they cleaned house. And all of a sudden, Stacey says.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I don't bring you the same comfort it brought me, but it was so interesting when Bonnie and I were on the phone. And first of all, just for her and I to connect as just woman to woman, but then also actor to actor, and all this time between the two of us. And yet our lives we have in my mind, I mean, Bonnie and I are like this, and yet we've had all this time, but
you've been buried alive too?
No, our stories,
your destinies,
are inextricably linked.
Sure. Yes,
sure.
And yet we have had all this space, and to hear what from her POV and her perspective and what she went through, and then to have it go, all the light bulbs went off for me that, oh, that note session had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with my performance. And guess what? Everything Bonnie had happened, everything that went through there had nothing to do with Bonnie,
yeah.
Had nothing to do with her looks, had nothing to do with her performance, had nothing to do with her. It was another storyline that was playing out behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and we were just characters in the play. And
we are the players.
And we never but would have players. Known that had we not talked.
No.
But what I told you too, which got even a little weirder, was this is the thing that doesn't go away in my life. Very weirdly, it keeps rearing its head. No matter how much I get past it,
right.
Like, really, it just keeps showing up.
Yeah.
I have to back up one more time to when I saw the show.
Yeah.
And I realized, because I had found out all of that, and I saw the Barbie Mattel girl, a literal doll, as Topanga. And it was like, oh, it was the only time I would ever watch the show because I was not about torturing myself, which is probably healthy. And it was a hard show to avoid, really.
Yeah.
So the one time I did see it was very hard. And I had to and it's hard not to become a bitter 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
You don't want to be that. So in the meantime, the show, The Secret World of Alex Mack, gets picked up by Nickelodeon.
Yes.
And I get a letter in the mail. How wonderful you were in the pilot and how much energy you brought. However, the network has decided it would serve the show better to have an older sister, 15 or 16. So better luck next time.
Jeez.
So I have now lost both series. Which was, again, the hits came so hard and so fast. And again, they had nothing to do with me.
Right. Yeah.
And finally, someone from Alex Mack called and said it was a conflict. We couldn't have Doogie Howser on the show with. So now time marches on. My sister and I are both actors. Molly was on Full House, actually, for several episodes as Mickey, the girl that gets Stephanie to smoke. Mm-hmm. All of that. My bad girl, yeah. Big sister. So now I get word from the, and everyone knows this is a touchy subject. Molly has an audition for Boy Meets World.
Yeah, it's about a year later because it's season two.
Yeah, it's about a year later. And Molly actually did two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very small part. And I was like, no, absolutely not. But professional, it's a small role. This is not how we do things. So Molly auditioned. Of course she booked it. Molly was a wonderful actress. Very, all of those things. She books it. And then the character recurs. And then the character recurs. And it was very happy for her. Very hard. This is still really fresh.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what's more is we didn't think they knew she was my sister. And we didn't know how much of a scourge I was on set. So we really didn't want anyone to know.
Right.
That we were related, that she had anything to do with me, because we didn't want her to get fired too.
Yeah.
So there she is on set. And what's strange is I was always the contortionist, all of that. And Molly had also figured out how to pop her shoulders.
Yes. Yep,
that's what I remember.
Quite the thing.
That's what I
not
remember.
Quite the same. But apparently everyone on set had been talking about party tricks or strange things, and Molly, without thinking, pulled it out.
Yeah.
And she Ryder and Ben said the minute she did it, and Ryder was like, hey, you know who you look like? And she went,
right.
Like, oh, jeez. No. Oh, no. So Molly pulled you aside and confided it to you. And that was kind of a big deal for her to do. Because, look, she trusted you to tell you that. At that point, she was probably a little scared she might get found out.
Yeah.
Right.
Or fired. So insult to injury comes. It's tape day. And the family's like, you should go and support your sister.
Wow.
So
do you?
I had to put on my big girl panties.
You came to tape?
You came to the show?
I came to taping that day.
Good for
I was
awesome.
There.
That's
and
really
showed
cool.
up, and I sat in that audience. And when the warm-up guy is like, does anyone have any special talents that they want to show off to our studio audience? I had so many t-shirts from all my friends' shows, Growing Pains. I had a t-shirt from every show that I got up and entertained on. I didn't get up.
Yeah,
I sat there and watched. And at the end of the show, Cass takes a bow and Molly waves the family down, setting foot on that set. Really, like my toes curled when I walked like past audience land onto that set. It was just like,
yeah.
And what's more is,
did you see any of the cast?
Yeah. And everyone was really nice to me. Everyone was really nice, and it was kind of awkward, and I didn't know this. My dad said that David came in from the corner and clocked me and saw me, and he said the look on his face was just, he said he just gave a look to you, and dad looked at him like, hey man, gave him a total hey man look, and he said that it was a look of, I don't know if it was contrition, guilt, but it was like,
Right.
It was a definite look. And weirdly, I ran into Ryder. I don't know if you remember this.
Where? When?
I was doing Shakespeare in Northern California. I think I may have been doing Midsummer again. This time I was playing Puck. And Molly was there and we were at the Burbank Airport.
Ryder's favorite place is home away from home.
And you were walking through. And again, you were walking through. And I was sitting with a man named David Springhorn, who was playing Bottom. Genius actor. And I just... He goes, well, you look like you just saw a ghost. And you saw my sister. And you were like, hey. And you two sat down. And Molly like pointed at me like, you kind of like, hey, hi. And you two, I think our flight was delayed because we had a lot of time. And I sat and told Bottom, David Springhorn, the story of what had happened. And he looked at me, he was like, well, aren't you just the little survivor?
Yeah.
Because I didn't leave. I stayed in this business.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't. This destroyed me at the time.
Yeah.
Make no mistake. This was probably one of the more defining experiences of my life, but
absolutely,
it's one of severe perseverance.
Mm-hmm. I'll say. Yeah.
I did not let it take me out of my life.
Great. God.
And so over the years, have you ever shared this story publicly? With as many times as you've been interviewed, with as an illustrious as a of a career as you have had, have you ever, when somebody asks you, what's a little tidbit about you that nobody knows, have you ever shared the story publicly?
Never once. Wow. Never once. And I'm asked a lot. Tell me something that nobody knows about you. And this is always that thing. Mm. It's like a dirty little industry secret. And I haven't said it for a lot of reasons. Number one, I didn't want to disrespect you. Danielle, really, you were on that show a long time. You are an icon of that day. And who am I to take anything away from you? Really? Mm. Even if as a child, I felt something had been taken away from me, I didn't think it would do me any good to stand up and say, even come across as that was not like, really, it didn't matter by then.
Right.
And what's more, I didn't know if that was ever public. I know I read once because unfortunately, when something happens to you, even if you break up with someone, people feel the need to keep tabs for you.
Exactly.
Have you ever broken up with someone? They're like, hey, so she's dating someone new and you're like,
exactly.
That's nice. I'm very happy.
Didn't want to know that.
Her.
Right.
Right.
So people would send me articles, even as a kid. Oh, this was the worst. As a kid, people would go, hey, so there's this new character on this show. Did you audition for that? I mean, it's like it was written for you. Ugh. I got that for the first 3 seasons of Boyfriend's
World. Oh my God. Yes.
Like, oh my gosh. And don't you live in Topanga Canyon? I'm like, I live in Laurel Canyon.
Great.
No.
Different canyon.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Oh, so, man. Like, a very few people knew about it. And those who did would, like, send me articles like, hey, she said she wasn't the first choice. Why don't you get up? And I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, thank you. And then years pass. And then Girl Meets World came up. I was like, oh, holy hell.
It will go away.
It will not die.
Didn't this show die with the 90s? Come on.
Good gosh, it's Batman.
My
God. And somebody just said, maybe you'll work on it. I was like, oh, good. Let's just reignite that old flame.
Wow.
So, no, I also wasn't sure if I would be disavowed if I said so.
Right.
You never know. I can't imagine how Eric Stoltz felt in Back to the Future. He filmed for like 2 or 3 weeks Yeah. And they went, it's just not working.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever broke it or if that's just something that's come out in recent decades.
Yeah.
Because make no mistake, I don't know what that is. Everyone has been fired. Anyone who has lasted in this town for any amount of time, director, producer, writer, especially actors, everyone has been fired or replaced for one reason or another.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. Absolutely true.
So this is not a unique story. No. But again, I would hate to say something to Fangoria or to one of those and have it be fact-checked and have Disney disavow.
Right.
Or have you called out of the blue, hey, so this person is saying that they are and put you in that position.
Well, and again, because we hadn't spoken, you didn't know what I knew about you or how I felt about you. And I've never known how you felt about me. And so I have to ask, was there at 12 when this whole thing happened and you then watched the episode and find out it was me? Did you ever hate me? Did you ever think like that girl?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
I am not going to lie and say that I was the bigger man about this.
No. Right.
But what's more is what you don't know as a kid is that you had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
That someone else was going to have that role. Because at that point, it was going to be anyone but me because there were too many egos involved in it.
Yeah.
My victory was to be short-lived because someone didn't want that guy to win. So absolutely, when I turned on the TV and saw literally Barbie, the prettiest girl, a literal model, you were literally on Barbie commercials, like you and Barbie next to each other. It was like, oh my gosh.
That was the live action Skipper.
That's who they got. And it was not me. So yes, of course, for a long time, it was like, she took it from me. But you were not in the corner conniving and conspiring.
No.
The seat was open and you were ushered into it.
Yeah. Well, and to touch on, like you said, the story of perseverance, I mean, the career you have had after Boy Meets World, it was like Boy Meets World was a blip on your radar. I mean, you are Samara in the Ring movie franchise. You come out of the TV. You have been in tons of things. Minority Report, Criminal Minds. You did 3 episodes of A Series of Unfortunate Events, 3 episodes of Ant Farm, Shameless, The Muppets, stunt performances, and over 30 projects. Your career has, you have an incredible career anybody would die for. And our phone conversation was so, I don't know if I could ever put to words how it felt for the two of us on that phone call to have connected after all this time and to have shared the things that we shared. And looking back now, a full 30 years later, how do you feel about your experience on Boy Meets World and how it has shaped your life over this time and the fact that now here we are sitting here together?
Goodness. It was not a good experience. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say that it was. It was a hard lesson in the real world of the business we've chosen.
Yeah.
But as they said in The Godfather, we've chosen this business. No one put a gun to our head. And you choose to stay in it. As far as it goes, I do get to say in my own head, in my own world, that I did get that role. The ways and the reasons it was taken, well, that was outside of my control.
Mm-hmm.
But really, one thing that kind of cracks me up that we joke about is I became the monster that the pretty girls are scared of. I'm the thing in the dark that will scare your children and your boyfriends forever.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
So I have lived on. I've lived a life that I don't know that I would have lived had I been Topanga Lawrence on Boy Meets World.
Right.
In my life, I opened for Paul McCartney. I toured with Sir Paul McCartney for 10 weeks. Wow. And stood on stage with him and took a bow every night.
Wow.
I have seen things you people wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
I've seen attack ships off the shoulder of Orion. In my life, I have ridden horses with my dad to the foot of the pyramids at sunset and sipped tea in a Bedouin outpost.
Cool.
I have lived a crazy, adventurous life. I have ridden wire rigs that, frankly, only a handful of people, and mostly from the Matrix movies, have ever ridden. I have safeguarded other children on sets that couldn't speak up for themselves or stand for themselves or fall down for themselves. I am one of five women who can say they were a Terminator.
Cool.
I'm actually in the legacy of the Terminator series. I was one of the female Terminators. Really?
So cool.
I would love to have met the girl that went on that show. I really would. But I have had adventures that I think my life took me so far beyond that, beyond being a kid on a series.
Yeah.
In that sense.
Yep.
You know?
That's exactly right. I just thank you so much for being willing for the first time ever to come out here and share your story with us and share your experience with our listeners. I also would like to make it clear, I did not coerce you in any way into doing this. I said to you when I first called you, I said, if nothing else, all I care about, truthfully, was that you and I got to have a conversation. And with that, if you wanted to share your story publicly and to share your life and to share your story with the public, then I wanted to give you that platform. However, if you never wanted that, I was never going to force you to do it. What was most important to me was that we got to have the conversation that we had. And the very first, when I said, do you have any desire in coming on and sharing your story? And you said, I will. I will do it. I would like to do it. And I know that it took courage and I know it took bravery. And I am so eternally grateful for you and to you for not only coming on here and sharing your story with everyone, but just for accepting that phone call on that random Tuesday and for talking to me and, you know, just.
And Danielle, you're lovely. You are lovely. It couldn't have happened to a nicer person.
Thank
you. So thank you for being kind and open and really being just so lovely about the whole thing.
Mm. Thank you, Bonnie. It really means a lot to us. So thank you. This has been a nice one. It's just a really beautiful full circle moment for me. So I appreciate you so much.
And thank you for talking about it, because my gosh, this has been like the dark industry secret in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I have gone on to other strange and wonderful things, but this is not something that's ever come out. So
thank you for sharing it with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Wonderful. Thanks, Bonnie.
To see
it was you. So good to see you. Great to
good
catch
night,
up.
Everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Oh, wow. What a life, what a career, what a story, huh?
She's also just a total class act.
Yeah. I mean, she's amazing. Just
so classy about the entire thing, the situation back then. I'm coming to the show with her sister to support her sister after what she went through.
That is so intense.
At 13
super
years
classy.
Old, she would
at
have been
13.
There. At 13 years old to go a year ago, my entire life feels ripped out from under me.
Yep, crushed. And I'm going to go set back to that set. Same director, same people there.
See those people.
My sister on the show.
It was so funny when she was describing the Secret World of Alex Mack. I was like, is she talking about Secret World of Alex Mack?
Yeah,
like,
me too.
That sounds like Larissa's show.
Sounds like Larissa's show.
And then it was like, oh, right. Which was also Natanya's show, right? Like
exactly.
Natanya ended up being the sidekick. So what an, what
small
a weird
world,
little circle, small
around.
World of,
it is.
Yeah.
But
gosh.
She's, man, she's super classy.
So really classy. I mean, in a weird way, it couldn't have happened. I mean, it's she was lucky that she had a showbiz family. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
That could help her be resilient about this. Because if you didn't, you know, like, I don't know about the other kids who were fired off of our show, like what their experiences were like moving forward, you know, if any of them continued. And you know, the fact that she was able to stick it out.
Yeah.
God,
sure. I mean, and even the fact that her parents made her do the hard thing and were like, you should go support your sister.
Yeah.
You know, they probably knew better than she did that staying away from the set was only building it up to be this big, horrible, scary monster.
Yeah.
That once she actually went there, it would give her, you know, probably a sense of comfort.
This is our family. This is our business. This is what we do. There's good times. Yeah. There's bad times. And the bad times can be really bad. And the good times can be amazing.
Yep.
And that's the
exactly
thing.
Right.
The highs and lows in this business are insane.
And we have both of them to talk about. All of us,
right.
You know,
we all have
those horrible lows and we have those extreme highs. And yet, you know, thankfully for most of us, we go, you know what? it's all worth it. And we yeah. and we love what we do. And, you know, yeah. it's just yeah, it's just amazing. So anyway, I just my conversation with her was just even, you know, this it was better than this was because it was intimate. It was just right. the two of us personal. Learning of these yeah. things about each other and sharing our experiences. And it felt like there were just little patches to spots on our heart and in our soul that needed patching. Sure. And so I'm so glad that she agreed to come on and share her life with so all of classy. You because she's so special and so classy. And so, yeah, thank you, as always, everyone, for following along with this episode of Pod Meets World. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can email us, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
Merchandise. I tried to do it classy.
I like it. That was for very Bonnie. Classy. Great. Yeah,
thank you.
For Bonnie.
Thank you.
I will send us out this time. We love you all. Pod dismissed. Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers, Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Jackie Rodriguez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. You can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.